Welcome to Longevity Lab, Wednesday, May 6th. A physicist who studies aging just made the most important financial argument for longevity research anyone has ever put into a Reddit post, and the numbers are impossible to dismiss. Story 1. A $500 billion signal that the longevity era has officially begun. The naked mole rat doesn't age. Not ages slowly, doesn't age. Its probability of dying doesn't increase with time. We've known this since 2006. It took a daughter company of Google to fund the $200,000 experiment that proved it, because apparently you need to build a $10 billion revenue business first before you can spare a couple $100,000 to check whether a small burrowing mammal from Somalia experiences aging at all. That, as one physicist turned longevity researcher put it, says everything about why the field is still where it is. But the incentive structure just changed. Here's the data point that rewrites the industry. GLP-1 agonists, the drug class behind the weight loss revolution, are now selling at over $50 billion per year, with oral versions forecast to cross $100 billion. One company is on track to become the first trillion-dollar pharma firm. The original story was weight loss. The real story emerging from clinical trials is that these drugs appear to reduce risk across multiple age-related diseases, cardiovascular, neurological, metabolic, by around 30% in certain cases. Translate that into rescued years of life and you get roughly 1 to 2 additional years of lifespan. The company behind it saw its market cap increase by approximately $500 billion. Sam Altman said in 2018 that a drug extending life by 1 to 2 years could generate $100 billion in market cap. He was treated as a dreamer. The GLP-1 numbers showed the order of magnitude was correct, and then some. The commercial logic now points in one direction. The next drug bigger than GLP-1 is a true longevity drug. Nobody wants to develop another cancer drug with a $5 billion ceiling when the playbook says aging itself is the market. Gobble's take. The longevity industry just stopped being a hobby for billionaires and became a business problem that Wall Street can no longer afford to ignore. Story 2. Rapamycin extends lifespan in every model organism. Humans are the hard part. A review by Rourke and Ifland, summarized in a recent PMC editorial on aging and redox biology, examines rapamycin's emerging role as a potential off-label therapeutic for age-related diseases, including Alzheimer's, and its proposed use in slowing aging itself. The authors synthesize preclinical evidence showing rapamycin reliably extends lifespan by more than 10% across multiple model organisms, including C. elegans, Drosophila, and mice. The mechanism centers on mTOR inhibition, and the compound has been embraced by researchers, clinicians, and longevity enthusiasts as a putative geroprotective compound. The risks are real. Adverse effects, including recurrent infections and hyperlipidemia, were first documented during clinical use of rapamycin analogs like sirolimus and everolimus, then echoed anecdotally by self-experimenting biohackers using rapamycin off-label. The review doesn't soft-pedal this. Chronic exposure carries documented downsides, and the mouse data doesn't automatically translate to humans. The review also raises a bioethical flag. Aging is not formally classified as a disease. Rourke and Ifland warn that unequal access to emerging longevity therapies risks deepening existing health disparities, a concern that grows louder as off-label use expands beyond clinical oversight. Gobble's take. Rapamycin is the most battle-tested longevity compound in the lab, but the gap between works in worms and safe for chronic human use is exactly where optimism goes to die. Story 3. Why AI-discovered genes may outperform the best reprogramming factors we know. The biggest longevity finding of the decade might have come from a single-cell aging clock. Daniel Ives, PhD, appeared on the Health Longevity Secrets podcast on April 28 to describe research from Shift Bioscience. Using AI-guided single-cell aging clocks, the team identified roughly 150 rejuvenating genes and about 40 pro-aging genes. Within that set, approximately 10 individual genes reportedly outperform the Yamanaka factors, the gold standard reprogramming cocktail known as OSK or OSKM, in epigenetic age reversal velocity. And they do it without triggering the dedifferentiation risks that have made full Yamanaka reprogramming too dangerous for clinical use. That last part matters enormously. The central problem with partial cellular reprogramming has always been safety. Push cells too far back toward a stem-like state and you risk tumor formation. If single genes can move the epigenetic clock faster than the best-known factors, while staying within safe biological limits, that's not an incremental improvement. It's a potential route around one of the field's hardest obstacles. The same week's dispatches from the longevity research community also highlighted work on microcirculatory dysfunction as a silent driver of chronic fatigue and brain fog in aging. The argument: inflamed endothelial cells reduce red blood cell flexibility, creating what researcher Brad Pitsella calls pseudohypoxia. Pulse oximetry reads normal, but tissues are running on low-yield anaerobic metabolism and generating a compounding pro-inflammatory loop. The proposed intervention stacks exercise with oxygen therapy, delivering approximately 93% oxygen via reservoir during 15 minutes of moderate exercise, immediately with red and near-infrared photobiomodulation to target both oxygen supply and mitochondrial uptake simultaneously. Gobble's take: if 10 genes can beat the Yamanaka factors safely, every current reprogramming protocol just became a first draft. Story 4. Sleep resets the biology every longevity protocol is trying to protect. Mir et al. Present a comprehensive review of the bidirectional relationships among sleep, redox metabolism, mitochondrial function, and brain bioenergetics, and the mechanisms are specific. Adequate sleep preserves neural function by reducing oxidative stress through upregulation of antioxidant defenses, promoting the clearance of protein aggregates via autophagy, and resetting post-translational pathways that regulate mitochondrial dynamics, mitophagy, oxidative phosphorylation, calcium signaling, neuron-astrocyte metabolic coupling, and circadian rhythms. That's not one aging mechanism. That's several, addressed simultaneously, every night. The review extends well beyond the brain. Sleep contributes to skeletal muscle maintenance, glucose homeostasis, gut integrity, microbial diversity, and the prevention of cellular senescence. Poor sleep doesn't just impair cognition. It destabilizes the metabolic and inflammatory systems that other longevity interventions are trying to protect. Lifestyle and pharmacological strategies the authors identify for improving sleep quality include exercise, melatonin, and flavonoids, all of which work partly by reducing oxidative stress, promoting autophagy, and modulating mTOR signaling. One warning stands out. Mir et al. Explicitly caution that excessive antioxidant supplementation may paradoxically induce antioxidant stress and impair brain function. The implication is pointed. More supplementation is not always the answer, and sleep may be doing work that no pill reliably replicates. Gobble's take: if your longevity stack doesn't start with sleep, you're optimizing the roof while ignoring a hole in the foundation. Story 5. Lifting weights after 60 does something to your brain that cardio alone doesn't. A new study indexed on PubMed found that resistance exercise significantly improves overall cognition, working memory, verbal learning, and spatial memory in adults over 60. Effects were strongest when the program was consistent and sufficiently intense. Notably, the benefits did not extend to attention or processing speed in this review. Resistance training isn't a blanket cognitive upgrade, but its effects on memory systems are specific and measurable. This lands differently when you consider what aging does to the brain. The hallmarks of cognitive decline overlap substantially with the hallmarks of muscular aging. Resistance training appears to hit both systems. The muscle-brain connection isn't metaphorical, and the research keeps pointing back to it. A separate narrative review in PubMed reinforces the foundation, focused specifically on streetlifting performance. Optimal results hinge on adequate lean mass, low to moderate body fat, and targeted nutrition. That means protein intake of 1.2 to 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight per day, strategic nutrient timing, creatine supplementation, and quality sleep for recovery. These aren't advanced biohacks. They're the unsexy basics the strength literature keeps returning to, because they keep working. Gobble's take: the most powerful brain health intervention available to you right now is a barbell and a consistent schedule, not a nootropic stack. That's today's briefing from Longevity Lab. Read the full post and follow more channels at gobbles.news.